face and things that you say.
I say more than three things.
It's not like we've massively shook up the formula.
Hey everyone, and welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast DS. We are a podcast about video games. My name is Richie, and with me is Farley, aka Kunzy11, who will say hi, explain why we are called DS this season, and also tell you where to find us on the internet.
Hi everyone, it's Kunzy11 here. That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast brings you the latest news, reviews, and previews.
No, it doesn't.
You can find us at www.thatguys.co.uk and on some of the socials at That Guy's a Maniac. Richie, what's the punctuation on at That Guy's a Maniac?
It is all one word and all lowercase.
Yes, correct. It is. This season is That Guy's a Maniac DS. We're taking inspiration from the Nintendo DS system, which had two halves, one screen top screen, one screen bottom screen. We divided our podcast, like a DS, into two screens, except one screen is a half and the other screen is the second half with a break in the middle. We are taking some DS games, had a title, subtitle, the D and an S. Oh, my browser's crashed. For example, Mr. Driller Drill Spirits. Mr. Driller Drill Spirits. So before this season began, Richie and I came up with 1 million D words and 1 million S words, and we filled a big old bag with them. We're going to randomly pick it out, and then we're going to pretend that we're going to base the episode on what we've randomly selected. Richie, a big bag of D's for you.
I mean, we are good actors. Okay, ooh. Scrummaging about in the big bag of D's.
Get in there.
Yeah, getting my hand around all those D's.
Get
and...
in there.
Oh, look, I've pulled out Death Tripper.
Death Tripper, okay, good. I got a big bag of S's. Okay. My hand around all the S's. Choking the S's. I got an S.
You got an S. What's the S?
Hang on. How to unfold it? It's quite creased. It's quite difficult, right? Splatoon.
Splatoon. Okay.
I wonder what we will be talking about.
Why don't we talk about some of the games that we've been recently playing? I'm guessing you've recently been playing Splatoon.
I guess you've recently been playing Death Trooper.
Yes.
Great.
Right. Okay.
What are you playing? Our time-honored format where we discuss some of the video games we've been enjoying, readers.
Yes. And I'm going to start with... this is a short one. I'm going to start with Death Trooper. Have you heard of Death Trooper?
Is it a sequel to Rogue Trooper?
No. But same universe.
What? It's a Rogue Troop. What am I thinking of? Rogue Troop.
Star Wars Rogue Trooper?
No, I wasn't. I was thinking of that 2000 AD Rogue Trooper.
Oh, right, okay. I was thinking of a different Rogue Trooper, the dog fighty one. Is it called Rogue
Trooper? Squadron.
Rogue Squadron. Okay.
So... this isn't set in the same universe as Rogue Trooper.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is, however, set in the Star Wars universe.
Star Wars!
That's
better than Star Wars!
That's a solid lyricifying of the Star Wars theme tune there.
Thank you.
Solid.
All my own work.
Right, so Death Trooper. You've not heard of it.
It's two words, you fuck.
Is it?
Yes.
Let's not tell the readers.
Okay. Can I edit this for now?
Sure.
Death Trooper.
So Death Trooper, I got very excited about because I also... like, I saw a review of it, and it is one word.
Death Trooper. I'm looking at Wikipedia, man. If you've got a more authoritative resource.
If you go to Wikipedia. Right. It's also Death Troopers. So either way, I've got it wrong. Basically, it's on itch.io. So it's not a proper actual title. And I'm amazed that they've got so far with Star Wars Death Troopers. But basically...
Is it hooky? You're telling me it's hooky?
It's not hooky, but I doubt it would get past George Lucas. The premise behind it, and watch the YouTube video, you will do it afterwards, is basically a stormtrooper heading onto a starfighter, which seems to be abandoned and everything's wrong, and he gets on board and it's basically zombie stormtroopers on board, and then the trailer for it is absolutely amazing. It's really creepy.
It is one word in there.
And I was just like, this sounds so cool, I really want to give it a go. I went in with like low expectations because it was at Chio and it's probably quite beta. But everything was done quite well. There's even like, you know, the alarms that go off in Star Wars, the original series, and the Death Star. Yeah, that's going on in the background. The doors are off their hinges and you just see these stormtroopers, but they've got like bits of their masks missing and zombies underneath, and it's quite cool. And the best part in the trailer for it is, however, just
I'm watching it.
Yeah, just at the end, Darth Vader sort of pops up, and he's like, "He's like, oh, that sounds like a cool concept for a game." You know,
it's a stormtrooper who's just staring out the window. He's got blood on him, though.
Yeah. Maybe don't watch the trailer as we are talking. But yeah, it's a solid looking game. However, the actual depth of the game is creepy place. They are stormtroopers. You're just shooting everything as much as you can, and you've got to survive for 5 minutes. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of letdown gameplay-wise, but the headcanon that went on in my head is just like, has there been a zombie Star Wars game? And if not, why not?
There's been... I think Clone Wars had a couple of zombie episodes. In one way, you know, like, he's a fungus that controls people, and he's a...
The Force Mushroom.
He's the Jedi virus. J-virus. He's the J-virus.
The mycelian... Midichloriums. Midichloriums.
Psylliums.
Force fungus.
Yeah. This is our worst
episode. There's been worse. There has definitely been worse. Anyway.
George Lucas. I got two words for you.
Force fungus. Right. Anyway.
Yep.
I give it like 2 out of 10.
That's a shame.
Yeah. The gameplay was very hectic. It was atmospheric, but it was a little bit of a letdown compared to everything else that was happening in my head about what this game could be.
Because you could make a brilliant walking simulator, which is just you in a Star Destroyer. With, you know, blood trails everywhere, doors opening, that siren going off. Imagine like Gone Home cross Star Wars.
Yeah. And just creepy things happening as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe even like sort of a switching between when the Star Destroyer, like you're able to see the past before the zombies were there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it turns out you're a zombie. You didn't realize it. You're just wandering the whole thing.
At the end, it turns out you're a mouse droid.
Mm. Okay.
Or maybe you could play as a mouse droid.
How many Star Wars games let you be the mouse droid?
Not enough. Yeah. Not enough. Lego Star Wars?
Maybe. Yeah.
What's that game with the cat?
Stray.
Yeah. Stray, Cross, Gone Home, Cross, Star Wars. I'll play that.
Okay. Cool.
2025.
What do we call
words.
It? What do we call it?
Force Fungus.
Force Fungus. Great.
Okay.
Sorted.
LucasArts. Give him a buzz.
But yeah, I'm done talking about Death Troopers.
Dropping him an email. Okay, talking about video games.
Video games. That's unexpected.
Welcome to the video game section of the podcast. Talking about news, reviews, and pure previews. I played Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, nice. What'd you get on? What'd you get on? Or did
LAN. I played LAN.
You played it LAN?
Not LAN. If there was a bunch of people in the same physical space playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. What vulva did you choose?
Unfortunately, I had to really quickly make my character.
Oh, okay.
Because a friend had already started his campaign, and then some other friends brought over a laptop, and then it's almost like Resident Evil 5 levels of weirdness. You can join somebody else's game, but then you have like to make your character right there and then.
Yeah.
So I just quickly, and the vulva options was one that I had to skip over, as well as, you know. But it was awful. It was horrible. It was like, you know, remember that time you bought Pokemon Platinum and then you had to complete it in 3 days in order to download Darkrai?
Yeah.
Imagine having to create your character, your own OC special character in Baldur's Gate 3 in like 7 minutes.
I literally spent 3 separate gaming sessions only on creating that character.
Oh no. So it was suboptimal. Suboptimal.
Oh man. Half of that game is going back and creating a new character and just not playing it.
I know. So two of us were playing whilst 5 other people were bullying us. So it was great fun.
Great fun. So where did you get to? What did you see?
We got out the ship and then we went to the tiefling place where the goblins were attacking, and then we went into the goblin camp, and then we got all the way into the basement and
nice.
Freed a bear.
Had someone else played it?
No.
Because that is really, really far. And how long had you been playing it for?
We started it. Maybe, I think we played it probably like 11 hours over 2 days.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely should have told them to shut the fuck up and let me create my character.
Well, no, there wasn't time. So yeah, really enjoyed it. It was nice to have like it was weird having like an adult couch co-op experience.
Yeah.
But great. People should come over and just watch some people play video games all the time. We had color commentary. We had somebody who knew, 2 people who knew the game really, really well, just biting their tongue the entire time at the various things we just walked straight past and didn't do.
To be honest, I am very, very impressed. I was about 20 hours in before I even went to the goblin village.
I walked
the entire coast of the.
There was one point where the 2 of them played the game. 2 or 3 times each, and then they've currently got a playthrough, and we were playing so badly they saw options they've never seen before come up because they've ever played it that badly before. So that was good. And then there was someone else who was like, I don't understand. This looks awful. Are you sure this is the game that won all the awards? And there was someone else who was just cheering us on. So it was a great time. It was a really good time. I was really impressed by the game. The UI kind of sucks.
Were you using controller?
Kind of. One of us was on controller.
Yeah.
And I was a mouse and keyboard. I think mouse and keyboard was slightly better.
Mouse and keyboard I find infinitely better. Like, the all of the spells you get. And yeah, no, I'm with you. I swear, like, about the first 20 hours of the game is just getting your head around how they actually set up the UI. Because it's messed up. It is. But it makes sense when you get further into the game, because you've got so many spells, you've got so many cantrips, you've got so many other things, and you've got so much in your inventory, scrolls and shit like that, that it makes sense to have it laid out like that. But it takes a while. And there was one guy who I was talking to who was playing it. He said, he's just like, just spend the first sort of 20 hours of the game going, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm killing things, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite hard to start with. The first few encounters are really tough. Because we, like, fell through a floor. Fell through a ceiling.
Oh.
Into a tomb, and then there's just these guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's where you get Withers. Yeah.
No, not there.
No?
He popped up when we were stopping the goblins from attacking the tiefling camp.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, yeah. The tomb, I died in that tomb before I realised that you were supposed to press a switch and then everything doesn't...
Or blow up a barrel. At one point they were all stood next to the barrel.
Yeah,
I had a good time. We both tried to make our characters from one of the campaigns we played together, so that was fun. I was playing as a cleric, and he was playing as a wizard?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Bard. Bard is where it's at. Bard.
So, no, that was good fun. I'm kind of glad I don't own it, although I think I could easily see myself spending a million hours on it.
It's... Compared to the other Baldur's Gates, it's just so accessible. I want to go back and do Divinity as well, because it's the same guy as Larian. It feels like Dragon Age as well. It's just everything I like about a game. But I'm still playing it. That's the thing. I'm not done. I'm like still going through the main campaign. And I don't know why. It's hard because I can't stick to role-playing my character. Mm-hmm. I just want to do everything. You know, I want to do everything, and I want to be the good guy, and I want to see what happens when you're the bad guy, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's tough. But yeah, no, I'm really, really glad you've played it.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that it was with that group of friends, because we have played all the Baldur's Gates together.
Nice.
Yeah, we played one of them. Could you play it four player on the PlayStation? I think you could. We spent like 3 days once just playing it.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think Baldur's Gate 2 is so really good. Yeah, so I'm glad I got hands-on that game. I can see why it's really good. There are also like a few... I like that it is based on D&D, but there are a few little bits where you're like, oh, can I do this? And you can't. And it's really annoying. So one of the things... it's like you can't ready an action, and that's really annoying.
Is it though?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Okay. It's like such a core mechanic of those kinds of games, right? If you think about like going on Overwatch, go XCOM, just all of those kind of games, and it is in D&D, so it's kind of annoying that you can't do that. And there was something else as well which didn't quite work. Like, that's a shame, because I think it works well in D&D. But yeah.
Cool.
Playing. Yeah. Had a good time.
But yeah, you should definitely get it. You should get a system that you can play it on.
No, I've already, like, those fucking games on my want-to-do list. And then, like, Baldur's Gate wasn't on one of them, and I've played that. And as are two other games on my list. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do without it. And I don't really have a system where I can play it on, so...
No.
I'm not investing in a whole new system for it. My partner was the person saying, I can't believe this won all the awards. This game looks really boring.
But you know that... she would...
And they're not wrong. They are not wrong.
Well, it depends.
It's not a good... I think if you love the game and you know what's going on, it's pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's awful. Abysmal.
I mean, it's very pretty.
The water's not as good as Baldur's Gate 2. I was disappointed.
Where are you playing in all the highest settings?
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't as good.
Yeah.
What are you playing?
I want to save a little couple for the final.
You don't have to tell me like that. Just
okay.
Just naturally do it.
Right. So I've also been playing a little bit of Season of Discovery, the World of Warcraft mini thing.
Oh, for fuck's sake! I thought you were out. Jesus Christ!
Trust me, playing that does not mean you're in.
God. Big song and dance about being out. And Season of Discovery. What the fuck is this? Season of Discovery Phase 2. Oh, God. Can we not? Everything's phases.
But yeah, like, it is bite sized WoW, incidentally.
Just fucking whatever next. Just play a card. Just get WoW the card game. Which get. Do you know, Richie? Just buy WoW the 8-sided dice. just roll it and says, oh, I got some gold. Roll it again. Oh, I did a raid. Tell me about WoW Season of... Is this Season of Discovery Phase 2 or is this...
Phase 1. I, to be honest, I like dabbled in and out of it. You get to level 25 in a few hours.
Right.
There is a... raid, which is half an hour, but it is like the original 1-60 WoW, the sort of vanilla WoW, but they've added stuff in, so they've added things that you can discover, runes, because what else is it going to be, that you can sort of change your character with. So they've played about with it, and they made like mages able to heal, or they gave, you know, paladins some extra things to make them more viable, and other people got, like, druids, they got a spell which was like free mana, and yeah, it was just sort of, it's basically Dad WoW before or after the actual Dad WoW happened. It's so drop in, drop out, don't care.
I was just thinking, how do you describe this to a normal person, what it is? Your description of is like Dad WoW, but without being Dad WoW.
No, after Dad WoW.
After Dad WoW.
Yes.
Dad WoW.
Yes, the new Dad WoW. But yeah, it's...
What is this, man? I can't understand. So, let's go back to the beginning.
Okay, go for it.
1996? 6? 8? When did WoW come out?
2006.
WoW only came out in 2006?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. WoW
comes 2004. Out. 2004, sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
2004. WoW comes out. You play it. You like it. It's coming out fresh. It's coming out new. You get addicted when other people get addicted as well. You enjoy it. It kind of carries on. You drop out at some point.
Yeah.
Every now and then, just... Little toe dip. Then, WoW Classic. WoW that you knew and loved. Not this horrible product with the better graphics and interesting story. It's the WoW you love from 2006. A whole wave of people of a certain age come back to it. Some new people who never experienced the original WoW come back to it. You play it. It's kind of the same game. A few changes that most people wouldn't even notice. Hardcore WoW players notice. And then it kind of, and then you're like, it's run out.
Yeah.
And then, when was WoW Classic, when did WoW Classic come out?
It came out just before COVID, so 2019.
Yeah.
Okay,
so big gap. We got 2006, 2019. Now, 4 years later? 5 years later?
4 years later, yeah.
4 years later. Do it again. We're going back to Classic, but not Classic. A little bit different. Slightly different, but also the stuff you liked. But not the last time we gave you the stuff you liked, because you've already done that. And now this is... What's the hook?
What's the hook to the season?
What's the hook?
I think the hook is... I don't super care. That's the problem. It's like, oh, this is fun. Gone, done. But the hook from my perspective is we went through Classic, we went through TBC, and then we went to Wrath. Those are the three main ones. What's on the horizon in summer at some point is Cataclysm Classic. But Cataclysm changes everything in the game. So technically, Wrath of the Lich King is the last of the original sort of classic game before all the mechanics change and it becomes easier and stuff like that. However, we are at the end of Wrath of the Lich King and there's a massive drop in players because nobody's really that interested.
Is this just people with brain disease who just want to play that one bit of WoW? They want the old WoW, but they don't want new WoW in old WoW. They just want that old bit of WoW.
Nobody wants new WoW because it's, well, there are people who want new WoW, but yeah, it's a mess. It's a world of microtransactions. You launch it up and you have no idea what you're looking at UI wise. Everything's popping up and stuff like that. It's all fangled and new and it's scary.
Okay, so this is kind of like I don't know, this is kind of like Radio 4, right? Like new WoW 2 confusing. Here's the music you liked from when you could understand these things.
Bear in mind that you're paying a subscription for World of Warcraft. You get the retail game. You just happen to get Season of Discovery, Wrath of the Lich King, and all of these other things for free with it.
Okay.
Yeah. But Season of Discovery, it's... I don't know. The reason it's there kind of... bridges a little gap for people who are perhaps either waiting for Cataclysm or they just want to go through it and play through the phases again.
Isn't WoW Classic there? Just do that again.
There's no phases.
Sorry about that, because I'm really trying to get my head around it. So it's wanting to play the game specifically to kind of relive the game as it changed when the phases came out. That's the bit that people are there for.
So there, like, if you were to get the very final patch of WoW Classic, forget about TBC and Wrath, if you were to get the very final patch, that is the final raid is there. Okay. There is nothing to make you do or any reason or incentive to go and do the earlier raids to get the gear that you need to get into the final raid. But there's also events along the way. So as these raids open up, it's fun to get everything... well, get the gear that you need so that you can go into the next one fully prepped and ready. And that, I think that is part of it. And by putting these phases into Seasons of Discovery... you're kind of doing that, but you're doing it with the game that already exists, and they've revamped some of the dungeons to make them harder or turned them into raids that people go and do. So rather than going and doing the same raids, Molten Core, Blackwing Lair, you know, AQ40, and then move on to Naxxramas, instead you're going to level 25. And what is the top level dungeon at level 25? Black Fathom Depths. Okay, we've turned that into a raid. And we've added new things in there, and new items, and new ways to approach the game. But it's still the same old clunky interface, the same talent same talent trees. Mm-hmm. And trust me, the clunky is good. Because when it gets too smooth and easy, it loses something. So the clunk is fun. But also, there's no... The grind to get there isn't a grind anymore, because there's new things to find. And each class, because you still got like the 8 or 9 classes that are in the game, have a different new secret for each thing. So it's kind of a fun, fresh, new way to approach Classic without that much being changed, but with enough new things to keep it exciting.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't really think of an allegory for it, but that.
You know, this is where I'm struggling, because I think it's such a unique thing. You know, it's not like Pokemon, which every now and then, like, hey, you like Kanto? Here's Kanto again, but slightly different, or we've improved, or we've brought on a new console, or we've added some of the new Pokemon in, because that's not what
that,
this is.
That
this
would
is
not what this that is. Would actually be a very good allegory, actually. If you were to take Pokemon Red, as in, yes, the original Pokemon Red.
Yes.
And if you were to say, hey, play through Pokemon Red, but yeah, you can only get up to Gym 2.
Yeah.
And you're doing this with your mates. However...
Saladon? No. Yeah, yeah. Cerulean City, yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, so let's say you're going through, you can only get to Gym number 2. Yeah. And all of your Pokemon can only get to level 25.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going through there, and on the way, instead of going to Brock's gym, there is actually another place you can go to, and you find that there is, I don't know, there is an Ampharos that you can bring in. Well, not that in, but you know, it's kind of like, oh right, but in order to do that, you had to, you know, speak to a certain person in each one of the cities, and you had to defeat something at that point, and then you got that Ampharos in your team. Okay. You know, it's like that. It's just like, oh right, now I've got a team that can take down Brock, but it's been limited. And also, like, it'd be quality of life things would be added in as well, just to, like, you know what, like, Gary doesn't come and beast you after going through that Zubat cave. When you've got zero health, zero potions, and then he just fucks you over.
Yeah.
You know, he heals you up beforehand or something like that to make it a fair fight.
Yeah.
So there is helping hands here and there. So, like, one of the skills, or in fact, probably all of the character skills in Season Discovery will heal you in some fashion. So you're going through the grind. It's not as brutal to go and have to buy water and food to heal yourself all the time. You know, it quality of life. And it's a good pace. And like I say, it's just a few hours. You go through it, you can do the final raid, and that's it. You've eaten it up nice and easy. And it is not spending 25 hours in game to get to level 60 if you are going hardcore, just so that you can get into the raid, which is getting released, you know, 3 or 4 weeks down the line.
Yeah,
it's bite size, and I don't hate it, but I also, like, it was just, hey, I can do this, and then I can put it away, and I can play other games and not need to care about it, you know. Whereas with Wrath of the Lich King or TBC, I felt I was constantly having to do something to manage my character or get this next thing or hunt for potions that you need for the raids and stuff like that. Whereas now it's just, oh right, cool, done. Which is quite nice.
Is it, I don't know, it's fascinating. Is a certain part of it like an entitlement? Like, I'm searching for a feeling that I had. But I don't want what we had.
Oh, you're meaning the nostalgia of the whole thing.
What is it? Why
nostalgia's become so secondary to that. But I think it's because it's comfortable and because it's accessible.
Yeah, I'm just impressed that that Blizzard ago, they've clearly identified this, or it's been screamed at them so loudly that this is what people want.
I don't think anybody expected it. That's the thing. It's like they have these classic era servers where you can go back and play classic if you want to. Yeah. But there's no maintenance, no phasing. It just is what it is. And they brought out the Season of Mastery, where they redid the raids, but they added new mechanics in. Mm-hmm. The uptake in that was quite low.
Okay.
Just like, because it was, hey, you have to get up to 60 again and go through all these raids, do these mechanics, and there was not much interest. Whereas Season of Discovery, it looks like the whole player base from Wrath has just gone over there and just sort of hey, we're all playing this and it's nice and easy and casual. Everybody's got 19 alts because you can, and it's, I don't know. Anyway, I played that for a little bit. I did the Warlock, and I have no real desire to do any more. Like, people are doing raids every week, or the reset's actually been put down to every couple of days. So, yeah, I don't feel any real need to, because phase two doesn't seem to need that much either. So, see how it goes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But
only they could get away with it.
Yeah, only they could get away with it.
Because we at the same time we've got this discourse in the Pokemon community online, which is just like, Game Freak haven't changed the formula for 20 years. They just keep giving you the same thing over and over and over. Which is very different, because in this instance, it is literally the same thing over and over. Not quite. Well, as close as you can be.
Yeah.
But the players, that's kind of what the players want. Fascinating.
Yeah. Just to be very, very clear, my subscription is going away, and I was just wanting to check out what the kerfuffle was about with Season
of Discovery. I was going to say, you peaked. Is your subscription going away? You're like, well, Season of Discovery 2 is on its way. Maybe I'll stick around. Give that a bit. I'll give that a month.
I'm certainly not raiding. I might have a look at Phase 2. In fact, I will have a look at Phase 2, but I'm not doing any raiding. I'm not getting into the schedule of it or anything like that. It's actually just nice to have a bite-sized bit of WoW, spend that 10 hours, spread it over 2 weeks, and you get a nice little bit of fun, because it's actually fun to find those runes for your characters as well. And then you've got like, hey, I've got this ability that you don't get until Wrath of the Lich King, but I'm using it at level 10. How fun is that? And it just changes up things. And like making it more accessible, making more tanks and stuff like that. It's fun.
There's so much effort in. There's like PvP.
Yeah. There's new PvP every single phase as well.
Larger raids that will want smaller raids. It's not just churning it. It's not just flick a switch to turn on the code for them to let them do this.
Oh no! They've put in new things. So the raids that I was talking about, Black Phasm Depths, that was a
five man.
It's now gone up to 10 man, and they've added in difficult mechanics. Difficult, air quotes. You can't see them, but yeah, they just made it accessible, and yeah.
Fascinating. Do you have any other game that's doing something quite like this? Is it typical for other?
I'm dragging you into the bubble, but there could very well be like an EverQuest or Final Fantasy does something similar.
Yeah, like Ultima, people just obsessed with, like, actually Ultima 3 was the best.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
The fact that Blizzard still exists, you know, 20 years later, to do this, you know, is why it can happen. But I mean, they've got all sorts going on. They've got the whole new retail story, and they've got like things left, right, and centre. It's just
because what is it about replaying the old content? Would you like? Actually, we're going to make some new content, but in the old style.
That's precisely what this is.
It's just the old content again. Like, new. Completely new. Here's some new races. Here's a new area you never went to before. But it's still clunky old graphics and all that.
They do that every expansion. So, for Wrath of the Lich King, you got Northrend. For Mists of Pandaria, you got Pandaria. When you got Cataclysm, they basically split up the world and turned it into little tiny questy hubs.
Yeah, but everyone knows about them. You know, it's not like saying, "Oh, here's Cerulean City." You're like, yeah, I know. I knew it was going to be Cerulean City. We played this game before. We know that was what was coming. Like, you know.
Oh, so there is a rumor because one of the old developers came back to Blizzard that they're going to do a what if scenario.
Okay.
So Vanilla WoW went up to level 60, and there was lots of areas in Azeroth that they never touched on that they had plans for.
Yeah.
Which got scuppered, and they changed everything for TBC. So they're going to do potentially a what if the Dark Portal never opened.
Okay. I can much easily see the appeal of that. It's like a light classic WoW.
Yeah.
Just the way it plays, the way it feels, the classes, the skills, the blah, 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 blah. But here's some brand new stuff.
And that might happen. You go from level 60 to 70, but there's like some of the areas that just weren't touched upon in Azeroth, and maybe that's where Season of Discovery is going. You know,
great.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, readers, this is the WoW Hour.
Let's stop talking about WoW.
Allocated. Each season gets 1 hour of WoW. This is WoW Hour Season 4. Tune in for Season 5. To hear how Richie did not undo his subscription and is enjoying 30-second WoW. It's a new mode they've introduced where you can play the entirety of the game in 30 seconds. It's a platformer now.
On mobile.
On mobile, but it still gives you the same beats that you loved back in 1996, secretly 2000.
Right. Okay, we are past the middle of the podcast. And what does that mean, Farley?
That means... Break time.
Break time. Yes, it does. And what do we do in the middle of the podcast? What do we do in break time?
In break time, in the middle of the podcast, we stop the podcast. We change the subject. So we're moving from Death Troopers to Splatoon. But before we get there, we ask each self one card from the ultimate video game trivia card-based game. Each card has two questions. We're keeping continuous score, but not really keeping continuous score. I asked Richie two questions, he asked me two questions, then that's the end of break time.
Okay, but we always nail the answers in one.
We always get 100% first time nail the answers. Richie, are you ready for your first question?
Hit me!
In Bioshock Infinite, have you played it?
No. Big Daddy.
Which vigor allows Booker DeWitt to control ravenous birds?
Big Daddy.
That's not Bioshock Infinite, no. This is the one that's on the... I don't know. Super patriotic air balloon type things. Think it's the same as a very well-known collective noun. A kind of bird.
Parliament.
No, the other one.
Murder
A murder of
crows.
Yes, well done. That's the Vigo, which allows Booker DeWitt to control ravenous birds.
Hey. Nailed it in one.
First time. Even though you've not played Bioshock Infinite.
Yep. I don't hold a lot of hope here.
Okay.
And I don't think I can even really help you that much.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Are you ready? How are you with Battle Royale games?
If it's Tetris 99, F-Zero 99, or Pac-Man 99, I'm golden.
Okay. It's none of them. Which Battle Royale game...
I'm in trouble, yeah.
...by Mediatonic...
Mm.
...was released as a PlayStation Plus game in August 2020?
So here's some Battle Royale games that I know. But play of unknown PUBG?
No.
Fortnite?
No.
When Fortnite used to not be an all-consuming bizarre platform. Fall Guys?
Yes! Well hey! Done. Fall Guys Good. Ultimate Knockout.
Because I was running out of Battle Royale.
I'd never even heard of it.
What? You never heard of Fall Guys?
Never heard of Fall Guys.
It's good.
Is it?
Yes. Imagine, you know, Takeshi's Castle.
Yeah.
Or It's a Knockout. It's just like that.
Really?
Yeah. I think. God, this is aging us so badly.
Let's have a look. Let's have a look at one of the best-selling games of 2020.
And compare it to Takeshi's Castle.
On the TV, you have to turn the dial and chew the channel in on Sundays.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So it's a Battle Royale game where you start off with whatever, how many, maybe 100 little blobby dudes. And then you have to like run through, sometimes they're, you know, these Takeshi Castle-like assault courses. To get through to the next round. It's fun. And you can kind of elbow each other, sabotage each other, get caught in kind of all kinds of rotating machines. Yeah.
Cool.
It's good fun.
I've never heard of it.
That's mad, isn't it?
It just passed me by. I was too busy.
Yeah. Maybe we all have blind spots. Yeah.
Right.
I think you're going to get this one.
Okay.
What are the controllers for the Nintendo Switch called?
Joy-Cons. Okay.
I don't...
Great. Okay. What is the name of the service on the Nintendo Wii, Wii U, and 3DS that allows the player to download... classic Nintendo video games?
First of all, is it Virtual Console?
Yes.
Second of all, is that what Virtual Console was?
I guess so.
I'm not too sure it was, but fine. Fine. Wasn't it just old titles they released?
I think they just got so mixed in with all of the new titles because everything became downloadable at that time as well.
They did, but then also some companies released like their own old games under like arcade. So like Sega had like arcade classics. Like it wasn't it wasn't like a separate app. It's not like the Nintendo Switch Online ones where you'd go into like a different area. It would just be you've downloaded an old game.
Yeah. I guess it was just because it was like their downloadable store kind of thing. Let's not dwell on this.
But it wasn't the eShop. Anyway, fine.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Great. 4 out of 4. First time nailed it.
Let's move on.
Move on.
Farley, what have you been playing?
I have been playing, despite the fact you can find me on the podcast twice saying I wouldn't be, playing Splatoon 3.
So how's Splatoon 3?
It's really annoying, actually. It's great. It is great. It is great, but all the things I said would wind me up and winding me up about it. So do you know what it was? Is our fucking episode? Is that stupid episode we did about music?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, do you know what? I do really like Splatoon. I do really like Splatoon, and I'd love to kind of play through the story. And then I had a bit of Christmas money, which, you know, a little bit more guilt-free than other kinds of money. I thought I'd get Splatoon 3. Also, the second DLC was coming out. Here's a bit of a theme for the episode. So you know how you said in WoW they're potentially doing like a what if?
Yeah.
The second DLC for Splatoon 3 is a what if. So you know, at the end, I talked about it in the music episode.
Oh, is it if the two girls don't get kidnapped by the evil bad man?
So the end of the first one, it was which one's your favorite, and the one that lost was the one that was captured by the evil bad man. And at the end of the second game, the last Splatfest was Order or Chaos, and I think Chaos won. So Splatoon 3 is set in like a Mad Max type world.
Okay.
The second DLC, which is the Side Order, is everything's kind of like a bit porter. Everything's kind of like pristine, zen, white. And then there's this whole new challenge mode and stuff coming. So I thought, you know what? I've got all the fucking amiibos. Let's jump into Splatoon 3. I started the story mode. It's brilliant. The Splatoon story mode is always brilliant. But I was just drawn in, and you know what, that game, I mean, if you just play Splatoon, and I think a lot of people must just play Splatoon, there is so much depth there, just so much. They've introduced like a whole new bit of cosmetic or customization, so you can like customize your nameplate and your title, and then you also can display like a locker. Sounds stupid, but it isn't. You can buy stuff and earn stuff to put in your locker, and then your locker kind of travels to other people's world, and people can check it out. In Splatoon 2, they introduced a mode called Salmon Run, which is a cooperative kind of a wave-based thing.
Okay.
That's back and bigger and bolder. Then you've got the online system. Then you've got like an anarchy mode. Then there's like a card game. Really good card game. which I've been playing a lot of, but all of it's massive. All of it's, you know, I was looking at like, oh, you know, I don't want to, because I just don't like playing it competitively online.
Yeah.
And because I'm jumping into it so late, it's really hard, because so much of it is based around leveling up your gear. And so when you're jumping in with, you know, low level gear, which only has one slot, and you have to unlock the other slots, it's just brutal. But there's just, you know, so the wave-based run, there's like rewards and customizations and things you can only get by defeating like 1,000 of the super rare bosses that appear 1 in 10 times you play that mode. There's customizations and rewards and unlockables for when you spend a gajillion dollars in each of the 17 stores. You've got a catalog. So one of the new things they've done is you get a catalog each season, which is essentially a battle pass. You don't have to pay for it. And so the more XP you earn each season, you get rewards. Some of those rewards are card packs, this card game, which is really annoying. So I'm trying to cheese some of the card game prices with the starter deck plus, you know, I've got like 3 card packs that I've earned. Yeah, just all of it is just so much depth. So if you had the time to put into it, you could just keep playing and playing and playing and constantly be unlocking stuff, stuff to show off your character, stuff to customize. But I just wish I could do it all without playing the online multiplayer that's the heart of the game. Yet I've not been playing through the story because I have been drawn into occasionally, you know. Oh, yeah, it's a tricky loop. So I suspect I will play through the story mode I got the first DLC, which was super cheeky. It's just the old lobby from Splatoon 2. No, from Splatoon. Which is a bit cheeky. So you know, instead of having the new lobby, you can just get a train and it's the old lobby. And some other stuff, I'm sure. So I might get the second DLC, depending if I finish the story. As and when I finish the story. But, yeah. From the story, it's wonderful, inspired takes on what can we do with things you paint on the floor. It's wonderful to play through. And the gimmick in the story mode, this time around, you've got all your returning favourite characters here and everywhere. But the new gimmick is that you've got one of the little, there's a little salmon dude from the Salmon Run who follows you around and you throw him about. And I've not got there yet. I suspect what's happening, but everything's covered in hair. The antagonist seems to be hairy things.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, enjoying it, but I just wish it wasn't, it's too big. Is that a stupid complaint to have? Just stop being big.
Yeah. No, I think it's a valid.
Do you know what I want, Richie? Oh my god. Do you know what I want?
Bite-sized WoW.
Like bite-sized Splatoon, please. I want the feeling of playing Splatoon, but I don't have to play 10,000 hours of Splatoon.
Solo, single-player WoW experience where you can get everything you want and you don't need to deal with other people and there's not constant DLC ads and stuff.
Yeah. And you don't have to put in 10,000 hours to get all of the rewards.
Yeah. Yeah. There is no achievement for those horrible things.
Yeah. Or is it, you just earn it. You can earn it in, you play this for 2 hours, well done, there you go. Have it all.
Right. Okay, how many Splatoon 3s will you give out of Splatoon 4s? Plus DLC.
At the moment, I think it's 2 Splatoons out of Splatoon 3. But I suspect if the story delivers as it has in 1 and 2, it will creep up to 3.
It'll creep up to 3. Okay, cool. Good.
What have you been playing?
That's not the format.
That's not the title.
I know. What are you playing?
What have you been playing?
Oh, God. Sir, what have you been playing?
I have some rare things to sell you.
Sir.
I'd like a what if Resident Evil 4 where the merchant was a
character from Oliver Twist.
A scally, yeah. a very posh street urchin.
Please, sir, I've got some rare things on sale. Yeah. Right. Other things that I've been playing. So I actually have more that I want to talk about, but I'm going to pick and choose my battles. So I am going to talk about a game that I have played through and completed. Ooh. And thoroughly enjoyed.
Oh, look at you.
I know. And I doubt this is on your radar in any fashion. There's a game called Escape Academy.
Escape Academy, no.
Okay, so Escape Academy is basically a standard sort of Unity-driven engine thing, but it is, instead of shooting things, you're solving puzzles like an escape room. With a timer, and you can do it with a buddy as well. It is a really, really good escape room simulator. Does that appeal to you in any fashion? Would you buy a game?
Yeah, it does. I was just looking it up because since escape rooms became a huge deal, which is probably a little bit before I think it is.
Yeah, it's probably a decade ago.
Yeah, it's probably a decade, if not more, ago. It's now like a whole genre to itself. So not only literal escape rooms, but virtual escape rooms. There's also some really good escape room collaborative board games.
Yeah, so there's like things that you can get where you actually just put them around your house and you become an escape room just by putting these clues and solve these things. It's really cool.
I see some really good ones which are card based, where it's just a deck of cards and all the clues are there, but you kind of have to collaboratively play it. So yeah, I'd be into like a virtual escape room type thing.
Yeah, they've got a very weak premise that you go to a school that is for people who are, you know, escapists.
Escapologists.
And basically, it's for a weak scorecard at the end of every single one of the things. I don't care. It's fine. You go to, you know, a greenhouse and everything is sort of botanically themed, and yeah. Or you go to the computer lab and everything's there. And there is an overarching plot line, but you don't care. It's actually being in there, and everything, it feels so much like an escape room. You are on, like, the top. You know, your shoulders are up and you're thinking, right, shit, I've got 5 minutes to work this out. How the hell, what is the sequence? There must be some clue as to why we have to choose the red one and not the green one. And it's great. I love it for what it is. I played through it and completed it. There is two sets of DLC with it. They have been bought and I will be consuming them in due course.
Have you been playing it on your own, or have you been playing it?
I've been playing couch co-op.
Okay.
And there has been moments where it's been like, do this. No, do this. No, you have to do this because this thing. It's like, oh, no, wait a minute, it's a triangle. Got to do the triangle thing first. And yeah, it's been a very vocal, fun couch co-op experience.
Great. That all sounds great.
Yeah. And that was free on the Epic Store.
Free, wow, okay.
Which is why I had no qualms paying for the DLC, which is probably their entire model. Yeah. but yeah. But yeah, I can't recommend it enough. I think it's something like, you know, 15 quid. It is worth the money.
Yeah, on Steam, it's $19. So whatever that translates to, about 15.
Yeah.
15 quid, and I'm sure if you look, I mean, this looks like a particularly polished one. I'm sure there might be some other gems in the same kind of vein.
Yeah, I'm sure there must be other escape room games.
Yeah.
Games, it was a solid find, and like after the very first one, I was like, this is excellent. This is what I, you know, there's puzzles, there was no shooting, there's very little skill involved. It was just work the shit out, move to the next area, and look at things and try and work it out, and you'll see, and like, oh right, no shit, look, so that thing's located there, right, okay, brilliant.
How many hints, escape room hints out of 5 would you give it?
I would give it 0 because don't need the hints. Hardcore,
don't need
man.
The hints. Look at him. Billy Big Balls.
No, it's...
He went to the Escape Academy and escaped.
I would say the only thing that drags it down is probably the tacked-on plot. But other than that, 9 out of 10. It's a great game. I put it up there with Mario Odyssey.
Great.
Yeah.
There you go, readers. Latest news, reviews, and pre. I mean, that's quite recent. It came out in October.
And it was
no,
free.
No, it didn't.
Okay, good. But it was free.
Came out on something in July 2020. It's on everything, so.
Yeah.
Steam in October.
But yeah, if it's on Switch, get it.
It is on Switch.
Yeah, get it. Just get it. Don't even think about it. Just get it.
Somebody got the whole.
But if you have a couch co-op night with your missus,
yeah,
then get it.
We've discerned that Baldur's Gate 3 is not that game.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, because she can't handle the roleplay, man. She can't handle it.
Oh yeah, I was dressed up as my character and I did read out every line of text in a like forsooth type voice. Also, I was playing as a woman, of course. Forsooth, kind sir, do you have any wares for me to buy? Have you seen my companion Rygar?
Rygar?
Callback.
Yeah, it really is. To episode 1 of our podcast.
There you go.
Oh, good old Rygar.
Good old Rygar. Rygar.
Rhaegar?
I have one more game I want to talk about.
Okay, quick, go.
I have played it and I've completed it.
Full of regrets?
No regrets. It is Rise of the Tomb Raider. So I've been playing since the new
trilogy. Okay, cool. Yeah.
I replayed Tomb Raider, which I had played before, and then I've just finished Rise of the Tomb Raider. I bought it as like a 3-pack on PlayStation, so it came with all the DLC. There's fuck tons of DLC. It's really, really good. So Tomb Raider 1, 2, 3 remakes are coming out on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, the Tomb Raider community, which seems to be following everybody in the Tomb Raider community online, on the That Guy's social, is rabid. Like, I've never seen such hype. They're pouring over, just reposting, you know, there's like an extra screenshot of Lara in her home costume from Tomb Raider 2, and people have just posted thousands of times over. And then it's revealing all these deep rifts in the Tomb Raider community, which I had no idea existed. And so what I thought the kind of trajectory for most Tomb Raider fans was loved 1, loved 2, loved 3, starts to fall apart with Last Revelations and Chronicles, but still like them. Then Angel of Darkness came out, which was a trash fire. It was the first one on the PlayStation 2, just bad, broken, buggy, not finished, dark, not really Tomb Raiding anymore. Everyone hated it. Then there was Legends, then Anniversary, then this trilogy. I've probably missed one or two games, but that's it. But what I'm finding out is that there's like a bunch of hardcore, actually Angel of Darkness is great, you know, like rewriting fan fiction in this trash trash universe and storyline they introduced with like some kind of boring dark cabal, and some of the people I've seen and listened to hate the new trilogy, which I am. This is the second game. I don't mind it. I think it's fine. I mean, they reboot it again. I think it's like the 15th time Tomb Raider's Lara Croft origin story has been rebooted. It's fine. It's good. Really enjoyed it. Running around. It is a very kind of Ubisoft model they take this one. So you can get through the story just fine, but then every little sub-map has various collectibles and challenges and
like
tasks.
Assassin's Creed style, yeah.
Like Assassin's Creed, and then some of them you can't get in because it's gear-gated, so you have to wait until you get the throwable grapple axe, or you get the rebreathers, you can swim underground. But I like that. I like that kind of, I'll just gently go and do this and collect the things. It has some kind of old school tombs. There's like hidden tombs which you have to do, some of which are a bit of lateral thinking and using water and playing, but nothing too challenging. And then the extra modes, they have a insane, I think I told you last time, it's everything's cards. It's very kind of like, you know, like FIFA loot boxes essentially, so you can replay every level. There's also like a survivor mode you can play on every level, and then you have these score multiplying cards, so you can play it. That
is it, kind of roguelikey.
No, just increase your score. So if you want, enemies have a higher defense, and that'll add 50% to your score. Or you can give yourself the fully upgraded Venom handgun, and that will take 25% of your score. And you can get up to 5 of those. And some of them are stupid things, so you can run around as the original triangular tits Lara if you want. You could give everyone big heads, you can give yourself big heads, you can make it so that enemies are perpetually on fire and can't catch on fire. So loads of replayability, but like Splatoon, I was like, don't have time to do this.
Yeah.
Stop it. Like, why? You know, just let me play it. Why
just go through the plot and that's it. Yeah.
Why'd I have to replay every fucking level over again to get gold in order to unlock that last bloody trophy? Yeah. But some of the DLC is very cool. So one of which, they have like a zombie mode, which was kind of cliche back then. There's some DLC called the Croft Mansion, which you kind of pick apart. It's a bit like an escape room, kind of. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So first of all, you're just stuck in one room, and then you kind of look up some documents, get some clues, work out the...
Nice.
Work out the combination to the safe, and then there's a map, and then there's a secret entrance, and then there's a secret key, and then you kind of work out the hidden story. And then once you play through that, you unlock kind of Lara's nightmare, which is ending the episode where we've already been, which is a alternate reality where her uncle's wrath turns into these kind of zombies, and then you have to play through that same mansion, but there's hordes of zombie type things spawning, and then you have to
beat the
boss. Which is great. So I've done all of that. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So the next on the list, actually slowly slogging through some things on my looking forward, is Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which I know next to nothing about, but is one that people either seem to really, really like or really, really dislike.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fucking perfectly playable. It's Lara Croft running shoot tigers in the face type stuff.
Yeah.
So hoping maybe to have that done by the time 1, 2 and 3 remakes come out. We'll see.
Before the Valentine's Day.
Before Valentine's Day, yeah.
That's a tight ask.
Yeah, they're quite competitive. They're easy enough. You know, if you would just whiz through the story and don't worry too much about the collectibles until afterward when you've got the skills, which is the way to do it. It's the way to do it.
Yeah. This is the way.
This is the way.
Okay.
Well, that was a slightly longer what are you playing than...
I blame Season of Discovery and your questions.
Just trying to get my head around what the fucking product is, but then I think I summarized...
Yeah.
Why people might like it, because that's kind of what I want. Okay, Richie. Why?
Why did he bite me?
Why me?
Maybe because that guy's a maniac?
Maybe that guy's a maniac. Bye bye.